Let us unite together in prayer, then we'll turn to Genesis chapter 44. Our Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we come before Thee this day in the Saviour's name. Lord, we pray as we come to the reading of Thy Word and the preaching of it, we pray Thou wilt give help. We pray, O God, that above all we'll be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, the altogether lovely One. We pray, O God, we will find all more about Christ and what He has done for us, what He's doing for us, now as He lives in heaven on high. We pray, O God, Thou wilt bless our hearts. Thou wilt encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 44. And we'll read verse 14, God willing, down to verse 34. Genesis chapter 44, verse 14, down to verse 34. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also, with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto my father. Then Judah came near unto him, and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asketh his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidest unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidest unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall not see my face no more. And it came, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again, and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servants shall bring down the grey hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father for ever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad. A bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren.
For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. In the life of Joseph, there are many comparisons, pictures that point to the glorious person and gospel ministry of Jesus Christ. The life of Christ is summarized under two headings: his humiliation and his exaltation. Likewise, we can see also that pattern in the life of Joseph, for his life can be summarized by his humiliation and exaltation. In teaching the gospel through Joseph's life, believers are instructed in living the Christian life, and sinners are taught to be wise on the salvation. We notice in the story of Joseph how the typology often changes. And I make that point because in the last section here of Genesis chapter 44, the symbolism, the picture, the typology changes once more again. Joseph will symbolize the role of God the Father as the judge. Judah will symbolize the role of Christ as the advocate, and Benjamin will symbolize both the role of the believer who is accused of sin and the guilty sinner who is condemned because of sin. In the passage that we have read, the focus is upon Judah representing Benjamin before Joseph, the sovereign ruler of the land and the judge of the land. Now, in reading this passage and going by our title, Judah's advocacy, I understand that the word advocate is not used in this passage. However, I want to submit to you by reading this passage and by looking at particular words and phrases, you will see the clear presentation of the role of the advocate. Again, verse 18. Then Judah, in Genesis chapter 44, then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. The whole verse speaks of advocacy, or the role of the advocate. Now, what is an advocate? It comes from the compound word that means two words brought together to make one word. And the word advocate is the word parakleo. Comes from the word para, which means to come alongside or to draw alongside. And then the other word kaleo, which means to call. And so an advocate is one who comes alongside, one who comes near to another. It's also translated in the New Testament as the word comforter. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ in speaking of the person of the Holy Spirit and his ministry said in John chapter 15 verse 26, "When the comforter is come, whom I will send on to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." And that word comforter is the word parakleto, or the word advocate, the one meaning who comes alongside. And just as a side note, Christ is our advocate in heaven before the Father, and the Holy Spirit is our advocate on earth within our hearts. Furthermore, the office and the role of the advocate is a legal matter. And so what you have before us is a courtroom scene where you have the judge representing the law, the lawyer or the advocate representing the defense or the accused, and then the accused person. And so in this passage, the one who is guilty is Benjamin. The lawyer, the defense, the advocate is Judah, and the judge, the law of the land, is Joseph. And that's the scene we have in Genesis chapter 44, verses 16 right through to verse 34. The advocate, the idea, is one coming alongside, one coming to help, to intervene, to plead the cause and case of another. Also as well, don't forget that Judah, in defending Benjamin, does so as his own kinsman and his family relative. And that's interesting to note, because again, in thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our kinsman redeemer. He is our relative. He took on to himself our humanity in order to live for us, in order to draw near to us and to plead our cause. And for that reason, it's no mistake in Scripture that God has chosen Judah to plead for Benjamin. Once again, we are taught the gospel. Since Christ came from the line of Judah, therefore his advocacy, the role of an advocate that Judah plays, then points to Jesus Christ in its superior meaning. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And so just on this occasion, Benjamin had an advocate, one to draw alongside, one to plead for him. So as believers, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, one who draws alongside and one who pleads for us. And so as we think of this today, Judah's advocacy, we want to think of certain points and draw to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice first of all, the reason for Judah's advocacy. The reason. Why was there a need for Judah to fulfill the role of an advocate? Well, the reason was because of sin. Remember the story. And please keep in mind the picture or the symbolism, as we said, keeps changing to teach one particular lesson that is in view. But what we have been learning so far before these words is that God has exposed sin in the lives of his brethren. Joseph's silver cup was missing, and the brothers are accused of stealing that cup. And Judah says in verse 9, "With whomsoever of my servants that be found, let him die, and we will also be my Lord's bondmen." Judah is convinced that none of them have taken the silver cup. None of them can be charged with anything. But as we learn, that the silver cup is now found. And remember, the symbolism keeps changing. The silver cup is now found in Benjamin's sack. And Judah then comes in. And because of that, verse 16, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? Who's going to forgive us? Who's going to pardon us? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also, with whom the cup is found." God has found out iniquity. God has exposed our sin, our rebellion. The one in whom the cup is found, that's Benjamin, he is now guilty. He is now treated as condemned. He will be the one who will become a servant to Joseph, the Lord of Egypt, for the rest of his days. And again, don't lose the overall picture. God has used the silver cup to expose sin. There is guilt. Iniquity has been found. And since all focus now turns to Benjamin, the silver cup is found in his sack. He stands as the guilty one. He stands as the one deserving condemnation. He stands as the one to become the servant. He is worthy and guilty of death. Joseph could do with him whatever he would please, because the silver cup is found. And the words of Judah rang out, "The one with whom the silver cup is found, let him be put to death." And so now, the one with whom the silver cup is found, that's Benjamin, let him be put to death. He's guilty. And that for that reason, Judah comes in verse 18. Let not thine anger burn against thy servant. Let thy fury, thy wrath, thy condemnation not come against thy servant. He draws near. Judah came near unto him. O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray, speak a word before thine ears. He's coming along, drawing alongside to defend Benjamin. And therefore Benjamin is to become a slave, a servant to Joseph, the Lord of the land. And for this reason, the type, the picture changes to Judah becoming an advocate for Benjamin to come near, to defend him, to plead the cause of the guilty one, to satisfy the anger of the servant. And what a picture we have of the gospel about Jesus Christ, our advocate. And the reason why we need an advocate, it is because of sin. Remember, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And because of God's anger against sin. You see, though we are saved from the punishment and the penalty of sin, yet we are not delivered from the presence and the pleasures of sin. God has found out iniquity and continues to find out iniquity through the day until he calls us home. Day by day, we fall short of the glory of God. That is the perfect standard for entrance into heaven. We don't even come close. We sin daily in word, in thought, and in deed. We sin openly. We sin secretly. We are guilty of treason. We are guilty of transgress. Our iniquity is great. We have sinned every single day. We are a mass of sin. We feel in every area in our lives a lack of love for Christ, a short temper, an abundance of pride, lukewarm in service, doubt, unbelief at the promise and power of God. We sin every single day and we need an advocate because of our sin. And to say we have not sinned, what does John say? We deceive ourselves and we make God a liar. And so we need an advocate because we have sinned. Again, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 5, woe is unto me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 7 verse 18 and 19? Sin dwelleth in me, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. No good thing. Luke chapter 5, verse 8. I am a sinful man, O Lord. John Knox, the great Scottish reformer, what did he say of himself? I find nothing in me but corruption. Charles Wesley, in his great hymn, Jesus Lover, off my soul said, I am all unrighteousness, foul and full of sin I am. Believer, make no mistake, in this house today and in our life every single day, God has found out sin. God has found out iniquity in our life. If God was to mark iniquity, none would stand. If God was to say today, who you without sin cast the first stone, we could not cast any stone because we are sinful and we sin day after day. My sin condemns me. I'm hopeless, I'm helpless. And God hates sin because sin is an attack on his holiness, his righteousness, his just demands. That punishment for sin. And for this reason, we need an advocate, one to defend us, one to plead our cause, one to draw near and represent us. You see, without Christ as our advocate, there is rejection. Without Judah intervening for Benjamin, Benjamin would become the slave. He would be condemned. And without Christ as our advocate, we would be condemned to sin because of our sin. Jesus is our advocate with the Father. He's full of truth and grace. He is the righteous judge. He is the one who satisfied divine wrath for all who believe on Him. And therefore we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's why you can never perish, because He is our advocate. Unbeliever today, you need Christ as your advocate, because without Him, you will perish. Without Christ as your defender, you will die in your sin. You will be left to perish because you cannot clear yourself. Isn't that what Judah said? Who shall clear us? How shall we clear ourselves? We cannot do. God's founded iniquity. We cannot pardon ourselves. We cannot clear ourselves. We are offenders against God. Therefore, God has found out your sin. And without Christ as your advocate, you will be left to perish for your sin. Therefore, you must call upon Him this day and take Him as your advocate. Take Him as your comforter. Take Him as your defender. Take Him as one who has satisfied divine justice. Take Him as your Savior this day. The reason for Judah's advocacy, because Benjamin, the cup was found in his sack, and he was now guilty and condemned. And so, to be the slave, and so we need an advocate, Christ, because of our sin in our life. One who defends us, one who pleads us. Notice, secondly, the responsibility of Judah's advocacy. Judah advocates and defends Benjamin on the basis of a promise that he made to his father, that he would be a surety for Benjamin. Remember the words in verse 32, that of the previous chapter, I think it is, verse 32. He says, "For thy servant became surety for the lad." Verse 32. "For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, I shall bear the blame to my father forever." Now, what does the word surety mean? If you remember when we looked at it, it means one who fulfills the obligation of another. It's one who takes responsibility for another, who makes a promise to fulfill a word. In other words, what I say I'm going to do, I will do it. I'm taking responsibility. And so Judah comes before his father. I'm going to take responsibility for Benjamin. I'm going to become a surety for Benjamin. I'm going to make a promise. I will bring him back. Because if I don't bring him back, then I will have failed and I will bear the blame. I promise. I'm coming as the surety to fulfill a rule that I will bring Benjamin home to you. And so Judah will uphold his promise. He will not forsake Benjamin. Though Benjamin is now the guilty one, he is now charged. But Judah will not leave Benjamin. He will not forsake him. Rather, he is there to defend him. He's there to live that no charge will stand against him. Benjamin has been given into Judah's charge, into Judah's safekeeping by his father. He is the only one suited, chosen by his father to advocate for Benjamin. Remember, Reuben came and said he would do it, but he was not chosen, because Reuben is the brother that typifies the flesh, the carnal one. But Judah is the one who comes, and he is chosen. Anything happens to Benjamin, Judah will bear the blame. It will mean he will have failed, not keeping his word. Judah advocates for Benjamin. He draws near to plead on Benjamin's behalf. And by his role as the surety, he takes full responsibility for Benjamin. And therefore, men and women, lift your mind heavenward and consider a greater than Judah, a superior advocate, a superior surety, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the advocate and the surety, qualified and suited and chosen by God to plead, to intervene on behalf of sinners who have been given in to his hand. Christ has obligated himself to be the advocate of his people. He has paid the price. He has made that promise that all whom the Father has given unto him, he will not lose any, but he will bring them safely home to glory, because that's the role of Christ, the surety and the advocate. He pleads for them. He defends them. He draws near to them so they will not perish. And one day he will bring them home to glory. As the God-man, he is the one both identified with God and men in his deity and his humanity. He is the only one who can represent both. He can stand before the Father and not be consumed by the brightness of his glory, because he and his Father are one, co-equal, co-eternal. He is your advocate daily and forever. He will never stop, believer, defending you. He will never stop pleading for you. He has taken responsibility for you. He has charged himself, and the charge has been given to him to keep you, to defend you for the rest of your days. That's why you can never be in hell. That's why Judah cannot leave Benjamin. Because if he walks away, he fails. If he leaves him, he fails. And his word counts for nothing. His oath, his pledge counts for nothing. And that's why Christ will not forsake you. That's why Christ will not allow you to perish. Because he's your advocate. He's your defender. And if he did so, it would mean he had failed as your savior. His word would count for nothing. But that can never be so. So Christ is the advocate of his people. Sinner, without Christ as your advocate, you will take full responsibility for your own sins in hell's eternal prison. For if God spared not the angels that sinned him, but cast them into hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, he will not spare you. You must have Christ as your advocate, Christ as your surety, one on the cross who takes responsibility, one on the cross who became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Is Christ your advocate? Is Christ your surety? If not, you leave yourself unprotected for the day of wrath. Judah has been charged with the responsibility for Benjamin. I will be surety for him. I take full responsibility for him. I will be his advocate. I will draw near. I will plead for him, because I am not coming back without Benjamin, or else I will have failed. And there's no failure with Christ. Notice, thirdly, the representation of Judah's advocacy. The representation. Verses 18 right through to verse 32. Judah is representing Benjamin. And he's giving the details of all the facts that has taken place. But including verse 16, Judah does not hide the fact that there is sin. He doesn't try to cover up anything. He says God has found out sin. Benjamin's punishment is to remain in Egypt as a slave to the lord of the land. But in representing Benjamin before the sovereign, Judah pleads on the basis of his word, what he said he will do, because that is his only plea. That is the basis of his role as the advocate. The cup is found in Benjamin's sack. God has found out iniquity. Benjamin will become a slave. But I have made a promise, an oath, that Benjamin will return to his father. There is no other representation that Judah can make. There is no other plea that Judah can make. There is no other pledge to fall back onto other than what he said he will do. And in that scene, as he draws near, Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ear. Let not thine anger burn against thy servant. There you have the following verses. He's there in the presence of the sovereign, pleading the case of another. And that's what Christ is doing for us. He stands before the presence of God, representing us. We have a man in the glory, and his representation is based upon his word and upon his work. What he said he would do and what he did. He would come to save his people from their sin. And he did that by the shedding of his precious blood when he said, it is finished. You see, Judah doesn't come to let, say, Benjamin off the hook. He doesn't plead and say, let's just pretend nothing happened. Rather, God's found out iniquity, but he draws near as the surety, as the advocate, and pleads on Benjamin's behalf. And therefore, in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is called Jesus the Righteous, not Jesus the Let Me Off the Hook. As our advocate, in bringing our case before God, he advocates on the ground of his word as the surety, and the work of the surety as our substitute in taking full responsibility of every crime, every claim, and every corruption. Christ goes further than Judah because Christ advocates for sinners upon the shedding of his own precious blood. Christ never covers up sin, but he does cover over sin, meaning that sin will never be held against the one in judgment. We learn Judah offers himself as the sacrifice. And Jesus Christ has offered himself a sacrifice in the place of his people that they go. That Romans chapter 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, child of God, you read Zechariah chapter 3, and you will see how there's the picture there of Joshua the high priest, before the throne. And then you have Satan coming to resist, coming to tempt, coming to give every accusation that he should be cast off. And then you have one who advocates, one who intervenes, one who rebukes Satan and remembers the precious blood and covers sin, making it invisible to the eyes of God, one who defends another. Therefore, believer, unknown to you right now, as you sit here in this service, you have the wicked one accusing you. Do you realize that? Even right now, you have the wicked one accusing you right now. And the truth is, every accusation is true. We are sinful. We do deserve to be cast off into eternal hell. He's right in the accusation. But we have an advocate who pleads our cause. One who dismisses the claim because a debt has been paid for that claim. One took responsibility for those crimes, for those accusations, who was accused on our behalf. And therefore, we can never be eternally sent to hell because Christ has stood on our behalf. So here we have this picture of Judah drawing near as the advocate to defend Benjamin, to plead for Benjamin, and to speak a word before the sovereign ruler. I am the surety for the lad, and I must bring him back. In other words, he will not suffer condemnation. He will not be here to become the servant. Notice finally the result of Judah's advocacy. Very briefly, the result of Judah's advocacy is this, that Judah prevailed with the Lord of the land on Benjamin's behalf. Judah did not fail, and there was no guilt to bear. Joseph's anger was put away due to Judah's word, his work, and his worth. Benjamin was spared and free to go, and given a promise of abundance of provision to return to Egypt to enjoy the best the sovereign could give. In Genesis 49 or 45, verse 9, haste ye, go up to my father. And so he takes Benjamin back to the father. Verse 25, they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And so the result of Judah's advocacy before the throne prevailed. He never lost the case. He said what he would do, and he intervened on Benjamin's behalf and brought Benjamin back safely to his father. And therefore, as we think of the Lord Jesus Christ as our advocate, his advocacy prevails. He has never lost one for whom his blood was shed for, and he never will. He pardons, he cleanses, he blesses with all spiritual blessings, that his people may enjoy the blessing of the Lord, joy unspeakable and full of glory. The result of the Lord's advocacy gives us great comfort, child of God, to note there's one who pleads for us, one who defends us, one who's taken on our case, one who stands for us. And there is the assurance that one day we will be brought back to the Father. We will be brought back home to glory, into the blessing of eternal praise. Do you have Christ as your advocate? Do you have Christ as your defender? Do you have Christ as your comforter? Well, I trust you do. But if you don't, I pray today you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as we said at the start, if you don't have Christ as your advocate, your defender before God, then you will face God as your judge and be sentenced for all eternity in eternal hell, in torments. And therefore, come this day and be saved and have your sin forgiven. For his name's sake, amen.